This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, November 24th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida has this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, and we'll check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Illinois lawmakers don't hear much good news these days. The budget is falling apart, schools are struggling, and top leaders are feuding. So the selection of John Cullerton as the next Senate president has thrilled legislators hungry for any sign that things will get better. That optimism also means Cullerton faces high expectations. People are throwing around words like harmony, an era of change, when talking about Cullerton leading the Senate and negotiating with the cantankerous House Speaker and Governor. Cullerton is taking over because of the retirement of current Senate President Emil Jones, Governor Rod Blagojevich's most powerful legislative ally. The governor no longer will be able to count on someone blocking legislation he opposes or taking his side in negotiations. Illinois lawmakers have voted to extend a tax on Illinois' top-earning casinos as a way to boost the struggling horse racing industry. Sean Crawford has that story.
The Illinois Supreme Court says requiring the most profitable riverboats to give a share of their proceeds to horse tracks is legal. Even so, the casinos argue it's unfair. In essence, they're being forced to help a gambling competitor. Amid claims it will hurt the casino's bottom line and possibly lead to job cuts, Rushville Democratic Senator John Sullivan points out the fee is nothing new.
The casinos have been paying this impact fee for the last 2 years. There have not been any layoffs.
But Alton Democratic Senator Bill Haynes says the gaming landscape in Illinois is different today, and for various reasons, casinos are bringing in less.
On what is now not a rising tide, which carries all boats, but a declining tide, which may sink and ground some of these boats.
However, supporters of horse racing say without the nearly $30 million a year in assistance, those who raise and race horses could go out of business, and that would be detrimental to the state's economy. Lawmakers have sent the legislation to the governor's desk. I'm Sean Crawford.
Illinois' unfunded pension liability may be as high as $50 billion. That's according to the head of a local budget watchdog group. Adrian Hill has more.
The financial markets have taken a toll on Illinois pension programs. Lawrence Massal is the head of the Civic Federation.
We're hearing projections of losses of in excess of 20% or more, and they were already dramatically underfunded to the tune of about $43 billion. So we believe that we'll be passing the $50 billion mark.
That's larger than the state's annual budget. Illinois pensions aren't alone in feeling the burden of the financial market meltdown. According to the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, state and local pension programs nationwide lost $1 trillion from October 2007 to October 2008. I'm Adrian Hill.
Indiana lawmakers often say schools are the top priority when it comes to creating the state's budget, but in the legislative session beginning in January, legislators have a challenge on their hands as they attempt to come up with an education-friendly, balanced two-year budget despite the slumping economy. Schools worry that flat or declining state tax revenues could lead to consequences such as teacher layoffs and larger class sizes. School districts across Indiana are facing increased costs for salaries, and many are also paying more for health insurance. With increasing costs, even a budget equal to last year could mean some tough choices. Coles County authorities say two former employees of a group home in Charleston have been charged with first-degree murder and other offenses in connection with the August death of a resident at the home. Another former worker at the Graywood Foundation home is accused of lying to police about the investigation. Coles County State's Attorney Steve Ferguson says 25-year-old Christopher P. Oliver, whose address is unknown, and 22-year-old Daniel Clark of Chicago are charged with first-degree murder and may have had direct roles in the attack on Dustin Higgins at the home on August 24th. Oliver is being held on $150,000 bond, while Ferguson says Clark is working with an attorney to arrange his surrender. Authorities in Vermilion County are investigating a Sunday afternoon crash that claimed the life of a Fairmont woman. The county coroner says 60-year-old Doris Castle lost control of her eastbound car on the Catlin-Homer Road, leaving the roadway and overturning. She died at a hospital a short time later. Her 11-year-old grandson was a passenger in the vehicle and was being treated yesterday. Sangamon County Sheriff Neil Williamson is asking police chiefs across the county to help reduce jail overcrowding by not locking up people accused of some minor offenses. Williamson says he already instructed his deputies to issue notices to appear in court for some minor charges, and he plans to discuss the plan with area police chiefs at their next meeting December 3rd. Offenses qualifying for notices to appear could include minor disorderly conduct, trespassing, retail theft, or driving on a suspended license. Springfield Police Chief Ralph Caldwell said he is willing to look at the proposal and he wants to hear what other chiefs have to say during the meeting. Between 50% and 60% of the people in the county jail are arrested by Springfield Police. District officials in Shelbyville say the removal of bats from Moulton Middle School is proving to be a long and hard job. The bats were first detected earlier this fall when the smell of their droppings forced the closing of the school for several days. Workers have been patching many small holes and crevices the colonial bats can use to enter the building. At one point, as many as 500 bats were believed to be using the school as a home. Getting the bats out isn't easy because of their protected species status. Workers can reduce the ways the bats can get in, but they can't seal the building until after the bats have raised their young in the spring. It seems the bat economy is affecting even Santa Claus this fall. Sandra Majestic, who has handled Santa appearances for Majestic Photo Promotions in the Chicago suburb of Burr Ridge for 25 years, calls this far, so far, a disaster. This fall, so far, a disaster. Majestic says she sometimes would provide as many as 3 Santas for a single corporate event, but smaller crowds and the bad economy have kept anyone from booking more than a single Santa this year. Joanne Winkler, who oversees St. Nick's and Holiday Rentals as director of sales for ChicagoFun.com in Wheaton, says she agrees that people are tightening their own belts and Santa's as well. Winkler says she has only as half as many as Santa's booked as she normally would in late November. For the latest newscast online, go to WIOL.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. This is Thanksgiving week, a time for Illinoisans to be thankful for a very much related reason. Commentator Amy Guida considers the link between turkeys and law in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There are many reasons to be thankful that we're alive today instead of, say, 100 years ago. There's the internet, of course, jet travel, and plasma TVs. But especially at Thanksgiving, it's well to celebrate our society's progress with respect to marauding turkeys. Yes, bands of turkeys. If you've ever been on a turkey farm or within eyeshot or earshot of one, you'll surely appreciate that turkeys have a sort of gang mentality. One gobbles and the rest start gobbling. One ruffles and the rest start ruffling. Put another way, there's nothing but trouble when these birds of a feather flock together. And yet for decades, we in Illinois took the phrase feathered friends a little too literally. Exhibit 1, consider this shockingly pro-poultry language from an Illinois appellate court in 1896. We know of no law absolutely requiring owners of turkeys to fence them in or others to fence them out. Our statute declares it unlawful for certain species of domestic animals to run at large and imposes a penalty upon their owner for permitting it, but does not, by any specific or general term, include turkeys. Their owner may therefore allow them to run at large without subjecting himself to any penalty. And run those turkeys did. Through a break in their owner's hedges to get at a neighbor's apples and corn, in one case from Hancock County, making a beeline into a neighbor's crops in Peoria County, into a neighboring turkey flock in DeKalb County, onto a neighbor's farm in Menard County, all because, as the court in the Peoria case noted, turkeys simply follow the instinct of nature in seeking food where it is most inviting. You'll likely be able to relate now to the multiple defendants who back then took matters into their own hands when others' hungry turkeys came to call. That's what many of those turkey cases turned on, whether a neighbor would be liable for holding the trespassing turkeys for ransom, for beating them with a stick, or for inflicting a much worse fate on the boisterous butterballs. With all the havoc unrestrained turkeys apparently wreaked back then in Illinois, you might be left scratching your waddle as to why the law granted turkeys such freedom. And then you'd come across a case from the 1930s and all would become clear. The law abhors a double standard. Imagine opening the local paper in 1929 and reading this enticing notice. Come to the annual turkey trot, Tuesday, November 26th, day and night. 153 live birds and pigs given away, absolutely free. 10 separate releases of fowls. Fowls will be released from the tops of buildings. Come, bring the family, 35 big turkeys. No, I'm not kidding. Here's the rollicking scene a court would later describe. turkeys were released from the windows of the courthouse of Fulton County in the public square for the entertainment of the crowd, or for those of said crowd desiring, so to do, to capture said turkeys. It's clear that the event should have been called not a turkey trot, but a turkey tackle. And now consider from whence the turkeys originated. The courthouse. Are you surprised that a woman injured in the melee did not recover anything in her lawsuit against the city? With traditions like that, why would any judge ever restrict turkey freedom in general? Yep, there are many reasons to be thankful that we're alive today. We keep turkey flocks penned up. Today's turkey trot is 5K. And the only turkeys you'll find in the courthouse are, well, you know. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of law at the University of Illinois. In the forecast for the region today, cloudy with showers during the morning, intervals of clouds and sunshine this afternoon. The midday high 47 will have winds from the southwest up to 20 miles per hour and from the northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour, higher gusts this afternoon. Mostly cloudy tonight, a chance for some flurries, the low 26, winds up to 24 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow, a few flurries possible early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny, the high 37. And mostly clear tomorrow night, the low 23, sunny on Wednesday, the high 44. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, November 24th, you can find podcasts at Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.